So this is Fit as a Fiddle Plus, and we talk about everything health and wellness. I want to just share before we get started, if anybody wants to take a look at all of our replays or find out what we're all about, you can go to kathybinner.com and simply go across the tabs to the Health and Wellness tab, and you'll find all of our information right there. We also have a Facebook group, and we also have a meetup group under the Fit as a Fiddle. So you're welcome to find us in any of those places. I actually have an online academy where I talk all about passive income. And you can see that in my little Hollywood square here that I am a passive income mentor. But I truly believe that health comes before wealth. And so you can just work, work, work all your life. And I have a quote on my website, and it's so profound that we work all our lives to make money, and then we spend all our money in our senior years to try to buy back our health. And so I just want to say, don't do that. Just get the health, just get it on the list. Even if it's not the top of your list right now, and some days it can't be at the top of your list, depending on what life is kind of throwing at you, but at least get it on your list. And so we are going to talk with Katina today about that work-life balance. But before we switch over to her, I want Rita to share with us. Rita is my co-host, my co-mod. And Rita, while I'm thinking about it, I am going to make you my co-host so that in case I get bumped off, you can let me back on. And Rita, share with all of the listeners what it is that you do and what you bring to the podcast.
Thank you, Kathy, and welcome everybody. So glad you're tuning in. My name is Rita Brewer. I am a diabetes reversal coach. So I've been a physician assistant for a clinic in clinical practice for over 30 years, and am tired of just handing out prescription drugs and not really helping anybody get better. So I've pivoted to in space in the coaching space, so I can really get to down to the nitty-gritty with my individual clients and help them reverse their chronic conditions, because most people don't even know that they are in most cases reversible. So that is my passion, and my mission is to help a million people reverse their type 2 diabetes. And I love being here with Kathy, so we could talk about all things health and wellness. And I'm excited for you guys to meet my friend Katina Smith today. We'll get into her bio, but just on a personal level, she obviously has a passion for health and wellness. That's why she's here. And I had the pleasure of meeting her at my church. So we're church members together. And then she decided to join our Healthy Lifestyles Ministry team. So I co-lead that with her. Right now at Raleigh North Christian Center in our beautiful city of Raleigh, North Carolina. She's been a tremendous asset to our ministry and helping to share knowledge with the community and support our community and church body with health and wellness in so many ways. And I'm excited for you guys to meet her today.
I love that. I just kind of want to share with everybody that's listening too that we're all coming to you from different areas. I'm in the Columbus, Ohio area. And Katina, where are you located?
I am in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Okay, so you're in Raleigh, and Rita, you're in the Raleigh area.
Close to Raleigh, yep, Wake Forest.
Yep. Okay. And that, where are you coming to us from? You've got the little mic button in the lower corner.
Yes, I wouldn't click fast enough.
Oh, I got it.
Alexandria. Alexandria.
Alexandria, Ohio. Okay. And Judy, how about you? Where are you coming to us from? Judy might be multitasking and just listening in. So I get that. And I know Christy and Sherry are multitasking and listening. Oh, Judy, there's Judy. Where are you coming to us from, Judy?
Kent, Ohio.
Where again?
Kent, Ohio.
Kent,
Kent.
Ohio.
Okay. Okay. Very nice. So we've got a nice, and I know Sherry is on. Sherry is from Pennsylvania. She's over around the Hamburg, Pennsylvania area. And Christy is outside of Columbus. So I know them personally. So we're kind of all spread out here today. So that's kind of fun. Now, Katina, you've experienced the demands of working long hours and the toll that it takes on your health. And so with over 20 years experience, that's why you've decided to make this a passionate message for you. How did you become passionate about the workplace wellness, and what inspired you to start your consulting and training services? Give us a little bit of that backstory.
Okay, that's a wonderful question. It's been a long journey, but I was going through a lot in the workplace. This was a few years ago. I'm used to working in a fast-paced environment, but I was working 50 plus hours a week. I'm a wife, a mother, I'm traveling, have many different responsibilities. So doing all of these things eventually led to burnout, but also I was working in a toxic workplace. So that was adding to all of what I was going through. And it just came a point where I just could not handle it anymore, physically, mentally, emotionally. I just couldn't go on. And so I made the decision to leave my job. And with that, it just gave me that opportunity to just really evaluate my life. Like, how did I end up in this place? And with that, came an opportunity to write a book. So I ended up writing a book, and it's called Sick Workplaces: What Employers Are Missing When It Comes to Workplace Wellness. And I named it that because people are suffering physically, mentally, and emotionally. And it really wasn't just about me and my journey. It was my colleagues, leaders, just seeing people just suffer physically, mentally, and emotionally. And I think going through that book really helped me to get more clarity on what's really happening. I did a lot of research. And basically, from there, I had started my business in 2019, the very end of 2019. Then the pandemic happened. And when I started, I was doing more life coaching, and then that evolved into health and wellness coaching, which is my passion, something that I've been doing pretty much all of my life. But from there, it was just, I got to that place of feeling like something was missing. They're always saying, find your niche, just focus on one thing. But it was like a part of me felt suffocated because it was like, no, there's more to this. And so honestly, one day, God just gave me this vision, and it was just like so clear. My journey from all of the workplaces I've worked in, my skills that I had developed, the training and education that I had, and that whole path I took, it made sense. And I saw it so clearly, and I just really wrote everything down. And so that's when I moved from just, the coaching piece of it to more consulting and, training, offering those programs that are going to be very beneficial for the employee. So that's how I made that switch. And with the consulting piece, what I did for over 20 years, it was look at the effectiveness and efficiency of programs and operations, which involved me having those discussions with leaders at all levels, from headquarters, area, district, down to a unit level, doing research, analysis, interviews, benchmarking, looking at best practices. And so taking all that information to really find out what's causing the ineffectiveness and inefficiency and making feasible recommendations. So it was just sort of clear, like, well, I can take this skill set and really help companies create healthier workplaces.
Okay, so now you're saying that you actually left your job in 2019, right before the pandemic. So now, of course, the world is changing all through that pandemic era, and you're now starting to coach and consult with some companies. How did you, for lack of a better way to ask, how did you get your foot in the door? How did you get in front of them that they were like, yes, we need you? What was your process there?
Oh, that's a good question. I actually left my job in 2022, but 2019, the end of 2019 is when I started my business. But I made the change to more consulting the end of last year. And so really my journey has been just having those conversations with different employers, sometimes through word of mouth, but just sitting down asking an employer what are their needs and making sure that I have something that I can offer them, which in most cases is the case, and letting them know the value in taking care of their employees, what that's going to bring them in the long term, and having those discussions. So really, it's just a matter of just getting out there and having those conversations with the different leaders in the organization or those people that are the decision makers. It could be someone in human resources, or someone responsible for training and development.
Well, some common challenges that, what are the common challenges that companies might face when it comes to promoting the employee well-being, and how, what kind of suggestions do you give them?
In promoting it, I would just say a lot of times companies might already have a program in place.
Okay.
But the employees aren't using them, especially like EAP programs. A lot of people don't take advantage of EAP programs because they think of, oh, I don't really need counseling.
Okay.
But every EAP program is different, but it's how that employer markets it to their employees. So sometimes it's just a matter of that employer going in and marketing to their employees
okay.
the benefits of the programs that they have, or even offering additional programs that they have or want to add.
So it's just kind of really bringing it back to the forefront. That
right.
They go, yeah, we really do need to make sure all of our employees are aware that
right.
this program even exists.
Right.
Now, in your experience, what's the key component of a successful workplace wellness program? What is it that makes it successful? Because once they bring it back to the employees' attention, how do you get the employees to go, yeah, I want to make the time to do that? And I don't know about you gals, but when I was working in corporate America, I was a single mom. I had to get my daughter from the daycare. And one of the last things, and we had a fitness center on site, but one mm-hmm. of the last things I wanted to do was either go in early or stay late to work out in the fitness center because I had these home responsibilities. So how do you make that successful? What are the components of making that successful?
That's a good question. And I cover some of this in my book, but really, you have to have a process owner. And what I mean by that, there has to be someone in the company, usually in leadership, that is going to be responsible for that program.
Okay.
And then also having, you might want to have like a group of people that help keep that program going. And it could be employees that volunteer. It might be a combination of employees as well as people from HR. So I've seen in throughout my career, just a lot of programs are implemented in processes, but they don't last because no one's really paying attention. You know, they implement it and then it's great and then people forget about it. But when you have someone that has that oversight, that helps to keep that program going.
Now, when you go into these different companies, do you actually tailor your each individual company, do you tailor what you're bringing to the table for them to fit what it is they do? And how do you decide how to tailor your program?
Right.
I think that would be hard because every company is a whole different, what I want to say, kind of a whole different mindset.
Right, right. And that's a very good question, but I believe you have to customize. You can't just do a cookie cutter approach to it because, like you said, every company is unique. There's a different culture, and it has to start with really understanding what their main objective is and then getting buy-in from leadership, because that's the key right there, making sure that leadership is on board. When it comes from the very top, it's going to be more successful as it filters down. If you try to just, you know, implement it where, oh, HR is over it, it might not be as successful. So when you can get buy-in from leadership, that's when it's going to be more successful.
So what happens, I guess I'm kind of into the marketing phase because,
right.
I kind of live in the whole marketing realm at some level all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you find the right person to talk to when you're actually connecting with companies? I would think, and this is just me, I would think it might be hard to actually find your way to that perfect person that right. can actually accelerate this idea for you.
Right. Usually starting with HR or training and development to see if they are the right person to talk to. Sometimes it might start there where we have that initial conversation, but they may not be the final decision maker. They have to take it to someone else to get approval. And I can, you know, present to them a proposal of what I can offer based on the discussion that I have with them. So, you know, sometimes you don't know who that person is going to be.
Yeah.
But It's just a part of the process.
How much time does it take you? And it's probably different with every single call, but how long does it take you to finally take your program and get it presented to a company? And is it usually weeks or is it months before you can implement your program?
It depends. Sometimes it's weeks and sometimes it can be months.
Oh, wow.
It just really depends on the company. There's people I reached out to months ago and then out of the blue, I got a call and it's like, okay, well, we're ready now. So that was 4 months ago.
Yeah, okay.
So it just depends.
I'm just curious, Katina. I think in my practice, the biggest barrier that people have to succeeding in reaching their health goals is the amount of stress that they have, and most of it comes from work, right? There's family stressors as well, but I just find in our culture, people are overworked. Like you said, they're supposed to be a 40-hour job, but they're working 50, and then they're answering phones when they come home at night or getting back on the computer again at, 9 o'clock at night after the kids go to bed.
Right.
So, I mean, like, are companies receptive to listening to that? Like, cause when I always tell my patients, like, talk to your manager, can you get more help? Can they hire somebody else? Can you delegate more to other people? Like, but do you find that the companies are receptive to wanting to make changes? Or I just feel like they're just all about the bottom line, the dollar, and they don't care, how it's affecting the employees. And I know that was the case for you, right?
Right.
Which is what made you drove you away from that, right?
Right. I mean, I had flexibility, but it was the culture. I had a lot of flexibility, a lot of perks, great things going on, but sometimes you just can't get past that culture. And to answer your question, yes, it can be difficult. And that goes back to getting buy-in from leadership. If leadership does not buy into what you're saying, then whatever program is implemented, it's not going to be successful. So really you have to express the benefits and get leaders on board to say, this is what we're doing. This is the program. This is going to be the process. And then also holding the leaders at the, further down on the chain accountable for their employees and allowing them the opportunity to participate in whatever program or training that's available to them.
Yeah. So I know now you're a certified functional health coach, but prior to that, what was your bachelor's degree and where did you get your leadership training?
Okay. So I have an undergraduate degree. I have a BBA with the emphasis in marketing. And then I also have a master's in project management with the emphasis in human resource management. And I thought my career was going to be in human resource management. I was excited about it, but it just took a positive turn. I ended up going to work for the federal government for several years, and I was a performance auditor. So when I have to explain this, because when I say auditor, a lot of times immediately people think, a financial statement auditor, and I work for the IRS, and I looked at operations, pretty much, is it effective, as I mentioned before, and efficient? So I did that for over 20 years, and I love that type of work because that's the way I think I'm designed. I'm a problem solver, and I like to take that information and then create a solution. So later, I ended up going to get my MBA with an emphasis in organizational leadership. And I always had an interest in leaders being effective as a leader, just in any job that I had. For me, it wasn't about having a title. It was just, no matter what, how do I lead? Like, am I effective in my role? And so I just continued to take leadership training. Anytime they offered training, I had a lot of leadership training. And so with that and seeing a lot of the things happening in the workplace, it was just like, we have to do better and we have to do better by people. And I think for me, I've always loved to see people grow and see people thrive and just when I would see, you know, employees get mistreated, I mean, that's just heartbreaking to me. You know, all they're trying to do is their job, but then they're coming to work, they're being harassed or yelled at and those sorts of things. And those things should not occur in the workplace. And that goes back to that thought of, well, what's making people respond in those ways? You know, even as leaders, why do leaders just fly off the handle? A lot of that goes back to their well-being, you know?
Right. So what are
That's
okay. No, I was going to say, what are the main, I haven't had a chance to read your book yet, unfortunately. I do want to. Okay. So, but what are the main chapters of your book, like to break down like certain pillars that you focus on or topics that you cover in the book?
Okay. And before you launch into that, Katina, I just want to say now I understand how you know your way around all these companies.
Yeah, I've seen a lot. But to answer your question, Rita, my book, honestly, a lot of times when you go to write a book, they say, you know, it has to be done this way. I just wrote, honestly. So I was trying to make sense of what happened in my own life and why our workplace is the way they are today. So I talk about my journey, like from what I remember in the beginning when I entered the workplace. So that's how it sort of starts out, just sharing, this is what I was told should happen in the workplace, but this is actually what's happening. And then I talk about the changing workplace. We have four different generations in the workplace right now. So that is having a major impact on what's happening in the workplace today. I talk about stress and burnout, how that affects people in the workplace, mental health. And then I also talk about leadership, like what really makes an effective leader. And I share just some scenarios from my own personal experience as far as what I experienced in terms of good leadership and, you know, how that helped me grow as a leader. And then I talk about what I see as some of those missing pieces of workplace wellness, as well as what the future holds. And just to give you an example, a lot of times we focus on the different programs that are out there. You know, we might have, might do certain screenings. You might offer discounts, you know, for fitness clubs and that sort of thing. But I have seen, I think these are two things I'll share, critical in the workplace. And you mentioned this, Kathy, in the beginning, having that place of safety, having that place where you can go as an employee if you are dealing with the challenge. And yeah, you have things like EEO, you know, you can file an EEO complaint, but that's no good. I mean, that's not going to really help the situation. That can actually create further problems for people. So an employee having a place that they can go to, sometimes you're not able to talk to your direct manager. I was in that situation as well as many colleagues. Sometimes you can't talk to their manager because they have a great relationship. So they're going to be on one another's side. And then you go to HR and then HR will come back and tell you that you need to go talk to your manager. So you sometimes you don't have that outlet. And that can just be so difficult and frustrating when you're just trying to do your job. And then the other thing I've seen, I think that is a major problem that's not really focused on when you talk about employee well-being and just, you know, having a workplace wellness program is relationship. And that's like between leader and employee, because as you mentioned, Rita, a lot of times it's about, let's just get this work done and it needs to be done by this time. But we have forgotten that that's the whole person that's coming to work and they have all sorts of things going on in life. So having that relationship is so critical. And to give you an example of what I'm talking about, you know, in today's society, you have people that are caring for their parents and just so many other things.
And children at the same time.
Yeah, and children as well, and husbands and, you know, so forth. But, you know, not having that support during difficult times is very hard on a person. I've witnessed someone that was caring for their mother and they just didn't have that support because they had to take them to doctor's appointments. And then it's like, oh, you're missing too much work. But in that type of situation, that leader, you know, knew that that employee was a hard worker, but it was just about the task. So that's when I say relationship, you have to have good relationships, not that you'll become best friends, but at least you can talk to one another, and that leader should be able to support you, understand you and your needs as well. But a lot of that just does not happen.
Well, I know that I found, Katina, that over my career of punching the time clock and all the different jobs I've had over the years, again, it is about getting the job done. I get that. I mean, you know, I understand there's a job to be done there. But sometimes I would catch myself, because they were always understaffed and everybody was always overworked, you know, and everybody, they were trying to squeeze as much out of the day as possible to keep the production, whatever that production measure was. But I found that sometimes I wasn't getting the exercise that I needed, because, you know, I was just running up and down the highway and getting my daughter from daycare and had to get clocked in and had to, you know, and then of course my desk was already stacked by the time I got into my office, and I wasn't eating right. Sometimes I was skipping lunch, you know, or I was eating all the wrong stuff because I was trying to get through this stack of work. What role does that nutrition and exercise and mindset play in the well-being of that employee? I know that that is all the description and beginnings of burnout. And so how do you convince that employer that they need to actually allow that space?
Well, just
to bring that into the workplace, that, you know, the proper nutrition and an exercise program and some downtime.
That's a great question. But when you look at the statistics now, more and more people are stressed and burned out. You look at the World Health Organization, Gallup has done different surveys on what's happening in the workplace, and people are just stressed and burned out. So presenting those type of statistics to them and letting them know what the benefit would be with bringing those types of programs into the workplace, the benefits of that, because really when you do take care of your employees, they're going to take care of business, and you know, they can bring in even more business for you when they're feeling good and they're feeling great and they're excited about coming into the workplace.
Yeah, it's nice when you see the companies that do offer a lot of support, like they have on-site daycare, they have on-site fitness center, and even classes that are at reduced rates. But I feel bad, you know, I've been working in hospitals my whole life, and, you know, I see, you know, young moms are pumping milk in the locker room, and they don't even have like a quiet, like private space to sit. They're just sitting there out in the open with no privacy on a hard bench with everybody walking in and out. And, you know, it's really uncomfortable, and you got to run back to work. And, you know, it's just, it creates so much stress on the body, and, you know, so it's just heartbreaking. I know how stressful that was for me when my daughter was young too.
Right. And just to add to what you're saying, you can bring in all the programs you want, but the environment has to change if you want to see long-term results. So sometimes employers have to consider other things, such as more flexible work schedules, you know, to help employees continue to implement the things as it relates to nutrition and exercise and so forth. And I know one of the companies I worked for, we had Fit Time, which was very helpful. So, you know, that's how we were able to get it in, you know.
Well, can you provide some examples of the strategies that you've implemented for some of the companies you work with? What kinds of things do you suggest that you're able to get going in a particular company for one of your clients?
One thing is, I call them roundtables. Companies might call them something else, but I like that term roundtable because it's like everybody's coming together. There's not the mindset of I'm in charge, I'm the leader. So it's employee and employer coming together, and there's leaders within different groups or departments, and then you have your employees from different departments as the representative for employees. So they're bringing their concerns, you know, to leadership, and then working together. And they create their own rules, like, you know, respect and, you know, how things are going to just flow. And that can be done quarterly, on a quarterly basis, to give time to implement certain things. So that tends to work very well. And then just having what you call the downtime for your employees throughout the week. It might be you give them just 30 minutes where they can just do whatever they need to do, just having that downtime, you know. So that's something that will vary from company to company in terms of what they decide.
Yeah, I've seen like
I'm sorry, Rita.
That's okay. You go ahead.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of a delay on my computer today, so I think it's probably my internet is a little spotty, so I don't always hear you when you start to chat. So I apologize for cutting you off. But my question is how do you measure the effectiveness of some of your programs? Once you implement a program and it's underway and you're working with the company, how do you kind of what metrics do you use to track the progress?
Well, it's going to depend on what that company is focused on. Like if it's absenteeism, you know, they're already tracking absenteeism. So what is it before and after turnover? What is that like before and after? And then two, I think what I like the most is doing the employee survey to get feedback directly from the employee, like before the training and then after the training, and then even coming back later to see if they have been able to sustain what, you know, they had put together for their particular plan. But those are just some examples.
Okay.
Yeah. And then two, healthcare is always a way to measure as well, healthcare cost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So aside from doing would you call it corporate consulting then? For these corporations, how do you implement your knowledge about, you know, functional nutrition? Is there a space where you're able to bring those together?
Well, you know, with functional nutrition is about bioindividuality. So you can do it like if sometimes companies might want you to do health coaching, like one-on-one. That's an option right there. But I'm finding, and then I found this too, with just the years of coaching I was doing, a lot of people are just having a challenge with the basics, you know, just, you know, knowing what to eat, you know, avoiding fast food, understanding like what's in processed foods, the different chemicals and mm-hmm. so forth, what to avoid from, you know, household products. I'm finding just sometimes it's just the basic things that are needed. And then a lot of times you can give a person a lot of information, but they really need to know the how to in addition to that. So it's not just providing them with information, but the how to.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what advice would you give companies looking to prioritize the employee well-being, but they just really are kind of unsure where to start? They go, we want to do something, but we don't know what. Katina, what do you recommend we start with?
I would definitely say if you're a leader in the organization, definitely check with human resources or your training and development group to see what programs that you currently have. And then I always say, I learned this very early in my career because I took a lot of customer service training. The best thing to do is ask the questions, you know, so asking the employees, you know, what is it that they want? What are their mm-hmm. needs? What are their concerns? I think those are places they can start, or either just setting up a consultation with someone that focuses on workplace wellness and just getting feedback from them as far as what they can do to just begin that process of offering the programs that their employees need.
Well, I have a big question, and this is for Katina and for Rita, is there's so much information out there. And so sometimes, you know, if I go to research something, I'm like, I don't know any more after reading all of this than what I knew to begin with, because I don't know which direction to really go. How do either or both of you sort through all the information that's out there and then decide this is what I want to include in my program? or this is so important that I want to make sure that when I'm teaching or coaching or mentoring someone, that this is an important piece. And I don't know how you can sort through, because I struggle with that. Any suggestions?
You go ahead first, Katina.
Okay. You know, for me, I always try to stick with reputable sources, not blogs. I don't go to blogs and that sort of thing, but, you know, government. But I also look at just research, like where they actually done the research, scholarly articles and those sorts of things, journals. And then too, with my training, I still have access to information, updated information, as a certified functional nutrition counselor. So, I have access to information and resources that I can go to, when it comes to things like, looking at health and wellness, topics. So I think with a combination of that, that's kind of how I choose, you know, and then understanding what the needs are as well.
Yeah, I would definitely say the same thing. It's all about the source that you're getting it from, right? So, I mean, as a clinician, medical provider, everything we do and recommend has to be based on a peer-reviewed clinical science. So we have to be up to date on that. And websites that we can use where we can find information that's kind of consolidated, you know, because like you said, when it comes to health and wellness, there's a gazillion topics out there, right? So it's hard to keep up with it all, but we do have some sources that we can go to. And then also, if I don't have time to look at the sources, I follow certain people that I know and trust that that for years, that are very reputable, that are, you know, brilliant, you know, practitioners or scientists. And I follow them as well. And so you gotta keep your finger on the pulse of it all. Cause it's, you know, it's always changing too. It's just, you can never know it all. So, but you just gotta know where to find it, but definitely, reputable sources, look at the source. And then you got to look, you know, there's a lot of the studies that are can be flawed too, because you got to make sure they're not being influenced by the pharmaceutical company who wants to show you the specific outcome that's going to make you recommend their drug. So is it an unbiased article, you know, that you're reading? So that's really important to look at too. Like who is this source coming from and what are their, you know, intentions? And especially in the nutrition and medication, just, I mean, seeing the medication commercials on TV, like that
just
annoys the heck out of me, you know?
Yeah, call your doctor and ask for this medication. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. And some of that stuff's not even allowed in other countries, you know? It's only here because we're such a pharmaceutical driven, you know, healthcare system. So frustrating, but that's the way it is.
I know, I get it. And that's why it's so hard to sift through all of the information, because you have all this information coming at you from all different directions. And I don't care where I'm at. If I'm having a conversation, you know, about better health, there's always somebody in my circle that's like, well, you should, you know, do this. And then somebody else is like, no, don't do that. And it's like, no wonder. And
yeah.
So many folks are really confused because they have not put it on their list to make it a point to do the research, to be healthy. And they have so much more power than what they believe they have.
Yeah. Especially with social media, you know, you see different posts from different people all day long, and the comments, the comments are coming like everybody's an expert, you know?
Right.
I get that.
Listen to.
Katina, if you could just think back over your experiences, do you have any one success story that really jumps out at you? Something that you worked either with a company or with an individual and you're like, wow, they totally turned it around.
I'll give you an example of this company. We were dealing with a turnover issue, and not because, you know, they were doing something wrong. It was just high turnover in that industry. So just really looking at their mission, vision, and values, just reevaluating where they were and then how they were marketing their business, because they weren't necessarily attracting the people that they wanted. But okay. Even with having those conversations and going through that whole process, it was the leaders realizing that, well, I'm not taking care of myself. You know, I'm so focused on doing this and that, and my hands are in this and that, that I'm not caring for myself. And I think often when we talk about employee well-being, we forget that that includes leaders as well. We just think of, oh, it's the employee, but the leader is an employee as well. So I think that aha moment for them, I think, you know, kind of put a smile on my face, because it was like, oh, they get it. Like, you also are a part of this. You need to make sure you're doing the things for yourself as well, not just focusing on what the employee needs are.
Yeah, that's the same in the medical community. I mean, I'm mm-hmm. amazed when I go to medical conferences and you see mm-hmm. an entire hotel full of medical providers, and they're just mm-hmm. as unhealthy as everybody else.
Right, right.
Really sad. Right, like, how right. are you supposed to help your patients when you don't even help yourself?
Right, right.
Well, and the irony is that oftentimes they don't even realize that they have fallen into the unhealthy sector.
Right. You know, right.
They think, I'm okay. I'm doing okay. So I think mm-hmm. there does have to be an aha moment there. So yeah, that's a good thing right. that your one company, they had their aha moment that, hey, maybe we need to move it up on our to-do list before right. we can expect our staff to do that. No, I get
exactly.
it. I get yeah. it. And I think we all can be an example within our own families as well.
Oh, yes. That's very true. Mm-hmm. I think that I influence my daughter a lot. I didn't think so before, but now I see her just picking up things, you know, from exercising. She just get on the treadmill, or, you know, I'm making a salad. I'm like, yeah, like it's working. Yeah.
Good. Katina, yeah. How can folks get in touch with you? How can they find your book? How can they find you if they want to work with you?
Always go to my website, which is www.happinessinyoucoach.com, or you can send an email to ksmith@happinessinyoucoach.com. And I am on social media. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook. Oops, my okay. earring came off. Instagram. And then my book, it's on Amazon. So it's, again, called Sick Workplaces, What Employers Are Missing When It Comes to Workplace Wellness. So
okay,
I'm out there.
I love it. I'm going to get you to put that in the chat if you can, okay. or you want a computer where you can type that and make sure it says to everyone.
Okay, sure. I can do that now.
All right. And
Katina, I already sent your book listing on Amazon to my daughter.
She's oh, in, thank you.
She's in, thank I think, what I would call a toxic workplace.
Awesome.
I need you. So thanks.
Awesome.
Judy, thank you so much for that, Judy. Yes.
Thank you.
And does anybody else in the audience have any questions for Katina? Please feel free to.
Feel free to jump in.
You can type it in the chat if you're shy on the camera.
And everyone I have can unmute and talk, even if they don't have their video on, just like Judy did. I'm going to put my site in there as well. If you want to hear the replay of this, go to kathybinner.com and just scroll over to The Fit is a Fiddle, and you'll see the replays. And Rita, I'll get you to put your contact information in there as well, so our listeners can tap in. And then when I upload the replay, I will put our websites in the description of the replay, so when folks find it later, they'll be able to connect as well, so they can find you, Katina.
Okay, so that sounds great.
I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This has been wonderful.
Good.
And remind me, Katina, afterwards too, to touch base with you, because I have a couple people I want to connect you with too. A close friend of mine does a lot of corporate leadership programs. Okay. And then I have another one who works in human resources, a medical center. So they might be some good people for you to connect with.
Okay. Thank you so much. And again, it's been a pleasure to be here and share with you today.
Thanks for coming on.
Yes, I love that. So I just want to say how much I appreciate everybody for being on today. And in just a second or two, I'm going to stop the recording. And then I have a personal question for Katina.
Okay.